This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about Madeleines.
Yes, or Madeleine, perhaps. There's a lot of tension and concern about pronunciation in this episode.
Yeah, any time that you get into French anything, we tend to raise a fist to the sky and go, French! And also, as we were saying right before we started recording, like, I get really anxious about pronunciations when it comes to pastry-type terminology, because people are very particular in the field of pastry, and I just want to eat pastry. I don't want to make anyone mad.
We're not here to make anyone mad, even though it happens semi-regularly, but a good kind of mad, you know. Our listeners do have opinions, and we do.
Yeah.
Like
oh, yeah. Getting fired up is great.
Yes. Unless you're trying to make a pastry, and that's not what you're going for.
Sure.
So I don't really have much experience with Madeleines or Madeleine. At one point, though, when I was in college, there was a really cute French cafe that opened up in the small town I grew up in. And I went home one weekend and I met one of my best friends there for lunch. And at the end, you got a Madeleine. And I think the restaurant may have even been called Madeleine.
Oh, okay. That's cute.
It was really, really cute. I felt so fancy because I hesitated earlier because I was trying to, I guess the town I grew up in, there was a lot of shifting in restaurants, like a lot of things opened and closed. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that restaurant was there for very long.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, but I did really enjoy my experience. We got to sit outside and I dunked the Madeleine in tea. And it was very nice, even though I can't really have tea, but I liked the experience of dunking it in there.
Yeah, I can't remember when I went through a Madeleine phase at some point when I was just like, this is the perfect cake. How do I make it? What is it made of? But I can't for the life of me remember when exactly. It was sometime post-college. And I was like deep into a baking phase. And it seemed, it's one of those like really simple seeming baked goods that is very difficult to get exactly right.
Yes. Yes. And you have a lot on that that you were alluding to before we started recording. I couldn't find the exact date for this, but I know to the chagrin of a lot of people who do know a lot about Madeleines, a lot of Americans are introduced to them through Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a thing. They sell these little, I think like 2 or 3 packs right up by the cash register.
Yes. And so I thought, even though I had had this Madeleine that was a cake, I think the one at Starbucks, at least at one point, was much more cookie-like.
Mm.
So I thought it was a cookie. And this is a real awakening for me.
Well, it's cookies. Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's just go ahead and do the question.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Madeleines. What are they?
Well, the Madeleine is a type of, yes, small cake, about the size of a cookie, though. And yes, about which people have opinions. Madeleines are typically baked in molds that are shaped like a oblong scallop shells. And yeah, they are deceptively straightforward cakes, just lightly flavored with a butter that's browned so that it's kind of warm tasting and nutty. And then usually some kind of citrus zest, floral and bright, and often served plain, although they can be fancied up with vanilla or spices or cocoa or other flavorings or glazes like apricot jam or chocolate or toppings like coconut or slivered almonds. They're made of this type of tender and just slightly crumbly sponge cake called a Genoise. Am I saying that right? I'm not. I think it's Genoise.
I think so. I'm with you.
French. And the cakes get this thin, crisp crust on the shell-shaped side in contact with the pan, and they raise up into a little hump on the flip side in the oven. And the result is just simple and delightful. Yes, often served with tea or coffee, although some people say that coffee ruins the experience.
Oh.
I'm only reporting what I have read. And yeah, as with many baked goods and pastry kind of things, that kind of simplicity really belies the precision with which you have to work to make it happen. And this is where the opinions come in, like how dry or moist should the cake be? What type of sugar is best? Should you rest the batter? And if so, for how long? What type of pan material is appropriate? What's the best way to mitigate the temperature of the batter and the pan and the oven? How much of a hump is correct? Should it be a finger above the surface of the cake, or should it vie near obscenely for the heavens? Is it okay to use chemical leaveners to achieve this hump?
Oh my gosh. I'm getting more and more upset and worried.
It's okay. It's okay. Everything will be fine. There's cakes at the end.
The cake is alive. That's what Porta taught me.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so there's a lot going on in these tiny little cakes. You have a few things going on when you're leavening a cake like a Madeleine. Traditional recipes, which would have been developed before modern chemical leaveners like baking powder were invented, are going to use other both chemical and physical kind of tricks to get the desired texture and rise out of the sponge. So first, when you make the batter, you want all the ingredients to be right around room temperature. Unlike some baked goods where you're using the structure of colder butter to work air into the batter, you're working with melted and browned butter here. And that means that you've cooked the butter until the fats and milk solids have separated, and you've toasted those solids a little bit in the pan. And this is really rad because, A, it adds flavor, which is so nice. But B, when you mix the liquid butter with flour, the oils will coat the gluten proteins and prevent them from locking up into a too firm of a network, thus keeping the resulting sponge a little bit softer. However, if you've got this nice room temperature butter flour stuff and there's cold eggs in there as well, that could shock the fats of the butter into clumping up again. And that is no bueno.
Mm-mm.
Also, having the eggs at room temperature means that the proteins in them are looser and more willing to unravel or denature and then help form up into a foam when you beat them, capturing and holding air. This also means, though, that you don't want to work the batter too hard after you beat the eggs because that could collapse all of those little delicate structures that you've created.
This is too much.
Annie's just shaking her head.
Might as well make a cake.
Oh, wait, there's more. Okay, once you've made that batter, you want to let it rest so that the flour hydrates properly. You've added it so gently, and you want the crumb to be soft. So, yeah, you want to make sure the flour hydrates. And it's ideal to rest it in the fridge so that when you do pop it into a hot oven, there will be an extra bit of temperature difference between the batter and the air in the oven. And this can help create more rise, and I could not find a good explanation of why on the internet. Maybe I was looking in the wrong places, but what I suspect is that that in the case of Madeleines especially, the shape of the molds and the temperature difference help induce a purposefully uneven steam evaporation within the cakes, with the middles having longer to heat and expand with air bubbles than the sides do. This is what I suspect. If anyone knows the answer, please write in. If I'm totally wrong, that's chill. Goodness. But folks really espouse this concept. Even will recommend freezing the pan before you spoon the batter into the pan. Different types of pans matter too. Nonstick and silicone will release more easily, but don't give you the best crust. I personally recommend buttering and flouring any pan for the best crust and release in just about any baked good. Non-stick are my favorites, but the metal tends to be a little bit thicker, holds heat a little bit better. Anyway, pastry chefs will recommend all sorts of oven shenanigans too. Many involve baking initially at a high heat and then turning the temperature down or even off and then on again. If you want to look up a recipe or several, they are out there and they are firmly worded.
Very stern, almost like a talking to.
You know, in the end, it all comes down to personal preferences. And if you're making them at home, you know, like what works for you in terms of fussiness level and time commitment and like the specific like wonkiness or availability of equipment. Like, look, if it makes you happy, mix up a Genoise and spoon it into like mini muffin tins or freestanding muffin papers and then just bake it at a single temperature until it's set and then eat your cake. No one can tell you not to.
Not us.
Well, not, certainly not me.
Eat your dang cake.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
it's nice.
I love it. I mean, again, I know I've talked about this before, but my oven, the wonkiness is a good term, Lauren. I would have to really, really be careful with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is also not the most dependable all the time.
Yeah. Mine's slow to start, but then once it gets going, it's, you say 300 and it's at 450 and you're like, why oven?
Oh.
Why?
Goodness. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's an adventure every day.
It's enthusiastic. That's great.
Yeah. I like to put a positive spin on it, too, after so many baking disasters. But all right, let's say I've succeeded. What about the nutrition?
Yeah, it's a treat. Treats are nice. It tends to be a little bit heavier on the butter and a little bit lighter on the sugar than some other desserts. So, you know, treats.
Yeah.
Have them.
I love treats over here. Uh-huh. I do. I definitely want to try. I've never tried one like coated in chocolate or all these other flavors. I've only had the normal baseline flavor. So I really want to experiment out.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay. Into it.
We do have some numbers for you.
Just a few.
Just a few. Okay, so the Madeleine is highly associated with France, if that hasn't been clear already. According to a few sources, on Europe Day in 2006, they were chosen to represent France. I really could not nail that down, but I would believe it. It would not surprise me. One of the biggest commercial Madeleine sellers in France, A La Cloche Lorraine, sells about 80 million Madeleines a year and employs about 80 people. And I did look it up just to see the pandemic that is still open. And it is still open, but I don't know about the numbers.
Oh, sure.
If they're still the same.
Yeah.
A 1983 New York Times article claims that the Madeleine has been called the cookie with the greatest literary clout. Although, yes, it's really more of a cake.
Oh, take that, New York Times.
Even though I've been making that same mistake for pretty much my whole life, I will turn it around for sure. And there's some really interesting history as to why that is.
Absolutely. And we will get into that. But first, we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, rudimentary cookies, biscuits, or cakes, similar to Madeleines, go back to ancient times. I know we've talked about some of those in past episodes. It's escaping me now, but I know that it's happened.
Yeah. Maybe something about scones or muffins or...
all of the above.
Birthday cake.
We did talk about chocolate chip cookies. Maybe we discussed it in there.
We've done a lot of episodes, y'all.
We have. We were getting near a milestone. We were supposed to be keeping track. I totally forgot.
Oh, I forgot entirely.
Well, I think we could make it up and no one would really know.
Well, or at least, you know, why not celebrate an off number? Like, I don't think that it all has to be even numbers. Yeah, we're probably creeping up on 450 right now.
Oh.
We definitely blew right past 400.
Okay. Well, keep an eye, an ear out for that. I don't know what we'll do, but maybe we'll do something for some random number coming up. But anyway, in terms of more modern history, Madeleines are thought to have originated in France, where there are a lot of fun stories about how they were created.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most popularly told versions associates them particularly with Commercy, which is a small town in France. And the story sounds like the stuff of baking legend. It goes that during the 18th century, or perhaps an unspecified some time ago, before the 18th century, but that was when these baked goods started showing up in records, so that's often the time people go with. Bakers in Commercy paid a, quote, very large sum for the recipe for these madeleines, which were sold in these unique oval boxes as a specialty of the area. And nuns in that region at this time may have made a living selling these cakes. After monasteries and convents were dissolved during the French Revolution, historians think the nuns sold the recipe to bakers. And the name, it is the French form of Magdalene, as in the Bible's Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus's disciples. At one time, Commercy had a convent dedicated to Saint Mary Magdalene. I'm sure if I dug into this, there's multiple examples or ideas about where this name came from. But that is one. And I guess we are going to talk about some others.
Yeah. That is one that goes well with that version of history. I feel like this is yet again one of these historical outlines. It's like the end of the Clue movie where it's just like, or it could have been like this.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. I would love to play a baked version game, Clue. Ooh. Version of Clue.
Okay. All right. I want to design this game and I want to do it right now. I want to like toss my microphone out the window and go work on that. I'm not gonna. I'm containing myself.
Yes, because you are a professional.
I almost am, sure. Let's go with that. I'll take it.
Yes, let's. Okay, but yeah, that's not the only origin story often passed around about the Madeleine. Another has several of the same details. Commercy, France, during the 18th century. This one involves a young servant girl who was trying to cheer up the king of Poland. Stanislaus, that's the French pronunciation, but I would assume it's Polish, in which case I think it's Stanislav. But anyway, yeah, lots of hijinks about pronunciation in this episode.
Yeah.
But okay, Stanislaus Leszczynska, who had been exiled to the region, Lorraine, where he served as the Duke of Lorraine. And what better way to cheer someone up than with baked goods? I don't know too many.
No, that's about it.
Yeah. The girl's name was Madeleine, and the recipe in this version of the story had been passed down to her from her grandmother. That New York Times article we mentioned earlier goes into more detail, placing this specifically at a luncheon the Duke had that he was hosting in 1755. After the chef left or quit in some versions of the story before making dessert, the assistant Madeleine stepped in and saved the day, and the resulting cakes were so popular among the Duke and his guest, they named them after her. In this version of the story, the king's daughter, Marie, helped make them popular in Versailles when she married King Louis XV.
Ah, okay.
Ah, but yes, there's another way this could have played out. sometimes it's told that King Louis introduced them to Marie after a visit to the French region Lorraine, where Commercy is, and she loved them so much she shared them with the French court. This would suggest to me that the story of her father eating them, naming them, isn't true, but I suppose it's possible that King Louis saw her father more than she did once they were married, or that somehow the father was left out of this whole loop of getting, of his daughter getting introduced to them. Mystery is history. Yet another twist on this tale suggests that Marie actually came up with the recipe with the help of her cook, Madeleine. Stanislaus Leszczynski often gets credit for the invention of the rumbaba cake, too. So, future episode.
Huh. All right.
Mm-hmm. And in some versions of this story, the cake is actually associated with another woman named Madeleine who gave these cakes to those making the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela in Spain. Gasp. And the pilgrims allegedly wore the symbol of St. James, which was a shell.
Okay.
Okay. And there's one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another story suggests that the Madeleine was invented a bit later in the 19th century in France, a creation of pastry chef Jean Avis. He used aspic molds for the shape. Molds and recipes for Madeleine started appearing around this time.
And I couldn't easily corroborate this, but I'm pretty sure it's reported in none less than the La Russe Gastronomique that Avis took on Antoine Carême as an apprentice at some point, and that the two of them perfected choux pastry dough in addition to this possible connection to the Madeleine.
Mmm. Lots of threads going on here.
Yes.
Yes. With industrialization, the production of Madeleines went commercial, and several of these commercial brands still operate in Commercy. One of the biggest, A la Cloche-Lorraine, which we mentioned earlier, circa 1928, sells their product packaged in wooden oval boxes at specialty shops in the area. I couldn't find any exact history on the Madeleine pan, but I think it's safe to assume there were molds of this shape in the 18th century. We've talked about this in similar episodes, like aspics, marshmallows, and candy hearts. I also tried to get to the bottom of the shape, but couldn't find anything really solid. A lot of those origin stories claim it was there from the get-go, though.
Yeah, and there is a historical evidence of some of those aforementioned candies and stuff being made in actual cockle or scallop shells, and that right. That's perhaps how these cakes were originally baked, using actual shells. But it's kind of lost to time.
Yeah, and our good friend Julia, who's been on the show a couple times, one time she gave us those because she makes candies using old recipes, like with the methods and everything.
Yeah.
And she gave us those candies that were in shells.
Yeah, some little hard candies that were using shells, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Whatever the history, one name repeatedly comes up when discussing the Madeleine: Marcel Proust. His book, Remembrance of Things Past, Volume 1, Swan's Way in particular.
Yes, sometimes also called In Search of Lost Time.
After Proust died, his brothers compiled this book, or it was a series of several books, but this one in particular, and published it in 1923. So here's the relevant quote. She sent for one of those squat, plump little cakes called Petit Madeleine, which look as though they had been molded in the fluted valve of a scallop shell. I raised to my lips a spoonful of the tea in which I had soaked a morsel of the cake. No sooner had the warm liquid mixed with the crumbs touched my palate than a shudder ran through me and I stopped, intent upon the extraordinary thing that was happening to me. An exquisite pleasure invaded my senses, and suddenly the memory revealed itself. The taste was that of the little piece of Madeleine, which on Sunday mornings at Cambrai, when I went to say good morning to her in her bedroom, my Aunt Leonie used to give me, dipping it first in her own cup of tea or tisane, and the whole of Cambrai and its surroundings taking shape and solidity sprang into being, town and garden alike, from my cup of tea.
Well, that is lovely.
It is lovely, and a surprise to no one, probably, that people have tried painstakingly to create this recipe from his description and what recipes and techniques were available at the time. Here's a quote from a Slate article where author Edmund Levin tried to do this very thing, and it's a little long, but I love it. Confounded, I decided to confer with leading Proust authorities. I discovered a major obstacle. The eminent Professor William Carter, author of Marcel Proust, A Life, who had supervised a recreation of the famous scene for a PBS documentary. The professor was skeptical. He was turned off by my notion that Marcel had, quote, dissolved pieces of Madeleine floating around in his teacup, calling it, quote, not likely. And to my surprise, he asserted that Marcel does dunk and bite the Madeleine. which would mean there's no crumb production mystery to be explained. The professor insisted that the crumbs are simply created in the narrator's mouth after he bites off a morsel and schmooshes it around. I objected that no biting or schmooshing is mentioned in the text. The professor insisted it is, quote, implied. But in my view, Proust was simply too obsessed with detail to let something as significant as biting, let alone schmooshing, go unnoted, if that's what he had in mind. Much to my relief, I found firm support from MacArthur Genius Grant winner Lydia Davis, the translator of the widely praised new edition of Proust's Swan's Way, in which the famed passage appears. She finds no, quote, implied biting in the text and calls mere dunking out of the question. She concurs that the crumbly Madeleine material is already in the spoon as it approaches Marcel's mouth. The tiebreaker was Stanford professor Joshua Landy, a Proust scholar who declares himself firmly in my crumbs in the spoon camp. I'd given Proust a more than fair shot. His failure to account for extraordinary crumb production was manifest. Case closed, then. Proust's Madeleine did not, does not, and never could have existed. To put it bluntly, Proust didn't know from Madeleines.
Wow.
It's so fantastic.
That's okay.
Okay, indeed.
I told you, people have opinions about all of this.
They do. They do. I'm trying to think if there's any food where I'd be reading something and think, that's egregious. Based on crumb texture or something like that. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, I've never done it before, but I suppose that doesn't mean I wouldn't.
No, I don't think it does. I don't think it does at all. And you can see our actual episode on nostalgia, because this definitely reminds me of a certain scene in a certain movie we still need to watch, Lauren. Ratatouille.
Oh, I know. We watch it we shall. Absolutely.
Yes.
I've read the opinion that Proust's Madeleines were not fresh baked, but rather factory made. Because when he was writing, the real hotel that his semi-autobiographical protagonist is staying in was buying its Madeleines from a cookie factory a few miles along the coast, or a patisserie a few miles along the coast, now known as Jeannette. Though they are supposed to have been very good quality originally. I don't know.
It's got a hands up backing away gesture.
Yep. Yep. So at the time they might have been quite tasty and evoking of nostalgia. That factory, by the way, was meant to shut down in 2013 when the last in this long chain of increasingly disinterested owners decided to just cut their losses and sell the brand. But apparently, a group of the women bakers who worked there, occupied the factory for a whole year, petitioning the government to help them find a buyer. And eventually, this Portuguese industrial troubleshooter, saw their story and took it to heart and raised enough money from crowdfunding to buy and reopen the business. And as of 2016, they were making 24,000 Madeleines a day.
Wow. That's a story I want to see.
Right? Where's our movie about that? Yes. That sounds charming as all heck.
I know, but I want a really dramatic, intense trailer for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe with, an implied ghost among the pastry stacks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Ghost is always implied in my book.
Well, absolutely. In 2019, Madeleines featured in the Great British Baking Show, or Great British Bake Off, however you want to say it, in a signature challenge during the semifinals, during which everyone giggled a lot about the perfect hump and finding one.
The search for the perfect hump.
You know?
search we must all embark on.
I guess. In our own way, at our own pace.
Exactly. We're talking about baked goods here.
Absolutely. Nothing else could possibly be implied.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we're not the only ones that giggle, though. That makes me feel better about myself.
Oh, well. Listeners, I'm looking to expand my horizons when it comes to the Madeline. So if you've got any recipes or pictures, please send them our way.
Oh, yes. Speaking of, we do have some listener mail for you.
We do, but first we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener
Mail.
A lovely time with a lovely baked good.
Excellent. I really lost where you were going in the middle of that one and just kind of leaned away from the microphone.
I love it when you do that, when it becomes clear that I'm on my own with this one.
No, great.
Shame or blame. That's just how it goes. That's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Yeah. High quality, professional cookie crumbles. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or in this case, cake.
Yes.
Yes. So we have another letter from Bob. I was really surprised by the bubble tea episode. Surprised because I didn't know that this had become a thing back in the States. As you know, I'm on my third decade living in China, and here it is everywhere. I was a bit of a late joiner, but thanks to my son who introduced me to it, I'm a fan too. Seems it is catching on in Europe as well. My son was thrilled to find bubble tea in the UK, even in the smaller cities, when he went off to college there, and again in Amsterdam as well. Chinese soft power is what it's called, winning friends through happy tummies. Now, the real reason I just had to chime in, exploding foods.
Oh, no.
I remember once being in a grocery store back home at the checkout. Just when I was about to pay, I heard a pop and a shout when apparently someone dropped a large bottle of what must have been very well shaken Coca-Cola. Because a second later, what goes flying by? That bottle of Coke. No joke, it was flying by in an arc that reached about 6 feet high and crossed at least five or six checkout lines, spraying everyone and everything unlucky enough to be nearby.
Whoa.
I got a little wet myself. Another time, I was at home back when I was still living with my folks. The evening before, we had gone out for Chinese food. There were some leftovers, and I decided to reheat the chicken fingers in the microwave. These chicken fingers were the type that they heavily coat and batter and deep fry. Anyway, I took them out when they were done, and I remember this next part as if it was yesterday. I put one in my mouth. As soon as my teeth bit down, the other end of it just exploded. The bang was as loud as a firecracker, and the end of the chicken finger flared out like you'd see from an exploding cigar on a cartoon. I'm pretty sure that I had the same dazed look on my face, too. My mom came out when she heard the boom from the other room. She asked me what happened. At first, she didn't believe me and thought I'd lit a firecracker off, but I showed her the rest of the chicken. She believed me then as she started picking up bits of chicken out of my hair and off the kitchen curtains. Ever since then, I warn people to pierce their leftover chicken fingers before nuking them. I advise the same for reheating egg rolls, too. Imagine the carnage an egg roll might cause. I shudder to think of it. I do, too. I think you're right.
Wow.
Jeez, this world of exploding food. I'm definitely...
See, that's one... reheated chicken finger is one I had never heard of. That, I am impressed.
Yes, I am also impressed, and I'm going to try to remember to pierce my chicken fingers from now on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh.
Gosh, indeed.
Carolyn wrote, I had to write in after the bubble tea episode because it was so close to the Pokemon episode. The tea shop by my house, Tea Talk, has an entire separate Pokemon-themed menu. Talk about the perfect mashup. Below is a link to the menu. You can see all the flavor and bubble combos. They are delightful.
Yes. I love it so, so, so much.
Tea Talk. Check it out. Yes. Related, Rachel wrote, I've been a longtime listener of Savor, but I've never written in before. Your episode on boba tea, and in particular, your reference to the Star Wars holiday special, is what inspired me to say hi. Oh, hi. I live in Orlando, and boba tea is extremely popular here. It's so popular that a local artist created a map of all of the tea shops in the area. Back in 2018, a friend and I even made it a goal to try every boba shop we could find, but so many kept popping up, no pun intended, that we couldn't keep up. Going back to Star Wars, two shops have incorporated the series into their menus. Chewy Boba uses Chewbacca and Boba Fett as their mascots, while Lucky Straw's Boba, one of my favorites, did a limited Mandalorian-themed menu when the new season dropped on Disney+. My favorite drink on their Mandalorian menu was The Way, which was a spiced ginger and orange tea with boba. Once it's safe to travel, I would absolutely recommend venturing outside of the theme parks to try any of the local tea shops.
Yes. Yes. I love this so, That's so much.
So nerdy and so delightful. Gosh.
Yes. Yeah, the Lucky Straws Mandalorian menu, by the way, is called the Pandalorian. and the boba is called Kyber, which
oh, no.
is excellent. Yes, I've got to check these out. Next time we're in Orlando, it's safe to be there, Lauren. We have got
into it. Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you so much for all of those listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@savorpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @SavorPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Savor is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks as always to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.